MacCast, Saturday, March 12th, 2005. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by a Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. So, sorry about not getting the show up on Friday, but had a lot going on. Had a little problem with one of the websites that I manage. It's actually for the Macintosh users group I'm in. I maintain and manage their website, and for some reason, the host decided that it needed to get moved to a new server. Well, in doing that, they messed up all the configuration. I run the site using PHP and MySQL, and it's running on a Unix box. I actually think it's a Cobalt server, for those of you who might be familiar with those. But they moved us from one server to another and kind of messed everything up. So the whole site was down. So when I got online to prep for the show, I actually had an email from the president of the organization saying that the site was down. And I had to work quickly to get that back up and running. Took some time, and you know, by the time I got done with that, it was about midnight on Friday. And so I really just didn't, was too late to record a MacCast. So I appreciate everybody hanging in there and letting me get this up on Saturday rather than Friday. All right, that said, let's get right into the show. So ThinkSecret is reporting some good news for everybody. If you're like me, you're excited about Tiger, waiting for it to come out and wondering when it's going to happen. ThinkSecret has just reported that Apple will release Tiger in, or announce the release of Tiger officially in April. That's their rumor. And they're saying it will be sometime in early April, and the announcement will be sometime in early April, and then Apple should be beginning shipping the operating system within 2 to 3 weeks after that. So they have some reliable sources they're claiming, saying that the announcement will be happening on April 1st. little leery. Hopefully it's not a April 1st, April Fool's joke. But anyway, they're saying April 1st, they will make the announcement, and they will set the release date for April 15th, which is very interesting. So, you know, if it's going to be April 15th, maybe if you're getting a refund check from the IRS, you can go out and buy Tiger. I believe the price on Tiger should be about $129, and it's supposed to be the biggest upgrade to OS X since the first release. So a lot of great new features in there. If you haven't been over to Apple's website to check it out, I believe it is apple.com/OSX/Tiger, but hold on, let me get that actual URL for you. Hold on. All right, sorry about that. The actual URL is www.apple.com/macOSX/Tiger, and they have a great Tiger preview. You can check out all the new features that are going to be available when Tiger releases, which now, at least according to ThinkSecret, should be sometime in April. Okay, also releasing in April, according to ThinkSecret, are new iMacs and Emacs. They don't have a lot of details, but the new iMac, they're saying, is codenamed Q45CD and is expected to come out as a 2 gigahertz speed bump to the iMac lineup, but they're saying few other changes are expected. And then on the Emac front, the upgrade is also expected to be just a speed bump upgrade to 1.5 gigahertz, and then also possible video upgrades on the Emac. So we had been talking a little bit about whether the Emac was going to stick around. It sounds like, at least according to ThinkSecret, that the Emacs should be around a while longer and are going to get a little bit faster along with the iMacs. So we'll look forward to that. So there's a little bit of bad news coming if you are a iTunes Music Store user and you live in Wisconsin. The governor of Wisconsin, Jim Doyle, is saying he wants his state to start collecting taxes on digital music, videos, and software downloads off the internet. Or, I guess not off the internet, but any kind of downloads of digital music, software, or videos. And he's saying they want to do this because they're trying to level the playing field between offline and online businesses. So this would directly affect the iTunes Music Store, and they're calling it the Wisconsin iPod tax. And actually, it turns out that many states already impose a tax like this. It's what's commonly called, I believe, a use tax, or what I'm reading is it's commonly called a use tax. And it's essentially a tax, a sales tax applied to goods and services purchased from outside of a state through catalogs, 800 numbers, or online. And typically, it's just not enforced. They have no way of enforcing the laws on out-of-state businesses that don't collect this tax. And so, you know, just something to think about. You know, I don't personally agree with it. I think we need to keep taxes off of the internet, off of internet sales. You know, it's just going to be too hard to police and regulate, and especially if it's at the state level, and a tax at the federal level, I just think would never actually really fly. So they're trying to strike it down. They're fighting it. So if you are a political activist and you want to avoid taxes like this, you may want to do some researching online and follow this. I have a link to the article. It's a Wired or a CNET News.com article. And you can get to it from the show notes if you want to find out more information about what's going on with this tax. All right, next up we have some news from Microsoft. Actually, some a little bit of bad news, I guess, if you're an MSN customer and you use the Macintosh. Microsoft is going to be discontinuing MSN service for Mac OS X as of May 31st, so coming up here very, very soon. You know, I don't know how big of an issue this is. It's MSN, I think, is just a dial-up service. And I know a lot of people out there still have dial-up, but I think broadband is slowly taking over. And there are many great service providers, Earthlink or Net Zero, that provide good dial-up access, as well as a lot of great local dial-up providers if you need something like that. You know, you can just check in your area. But Microsoft is no longer going to be offering MSN service to Mac users. And, you know, just so you know, I was looking online. That doesn't mean Microsoft is going to you know, shy away from the Macintosh anytime soon. They do have a special Macintosh business unit at the company. They've been doing a really great job with Office as well as MSN Messenger, and they're going to continue to keep working on those products. That whole division, I've actually met some people from that division, and they are just core Mac heads. They develop kind of separately from the entire Microsoft company, and they do a really great job putting together great software for the Macintosh. A lot of people actually say that Office for the Mac is better than the its Windows counterpart. So be interested to hear from those of you who have switched from the PC to the Mac and had used Office extensively. I don't use Office very much. I do have the Mac version. I also have the PC version at my office. I haven't used it a whole lot. So I'd love to get opinions from MacCast listeners, on, especially switchers, people who came over from the PC and were heavy Office users and now use Office on the Mac, and what they think about the differences between the two are. Send feedback and email to maccast@gmail.com. Oh yeah, you guys remember that? CNC Music Factory, I believe from the 80s. There is a great article over on Apple's Pro website. I have a link from the show notes. The song Everybody Dance Now from CNC Music Factory, actually it's going to the actual song title is going to make you sweat, is being re-released, and there is a new re-released video that was put together by a guy named Scott Weintraub. And he used a Canon digital camera, a PowerBook G4, and a portable stereo to put together this video. And I believe it was all edited in Final Cut and put it all together and released out on DVD in a week. Really, truly amazing story. I have a link from the show notes, and I actually have a link to the actual video, the music video that he put together from the show notes. So you might want to check that out. I just thought it was a really fun story and brought back some memories for me having grown up in the 80s. It also really highlights, I think, very well the fact that the Macintosh is such a platform to open up and make certain technologies like video editing accessible to everyone. You know, with iMovie and the iLife Suite and iDVD, you can put together a truly professional level DVD with very little equipment and a very simple setup, and just, I think, really exemplifies what the Macintosh can do that really the PC world just hasn't. come up with. I know, you know, all the technologies exist there in the PC world, but they just don't make it as simple and easy to do as Apple does. And so I just thought, you know, especially those of you who have recently switched from the PC, you might want to just check out and see what the potential of, you know, this platform really, really is. All right, just a warning, in this next little part, we're going to get pretty geeky, a little bit technical on you here, so bear with me. Mac Rumors is writing some information alluding to what's going to happen in the future of the Power Macintosh. There is something called the Apple CHUD, C-H-U-D, Developer Tools, and apparently in there, there's some information alluding to the fact that future Macintoshes could have quad processor support, so support for four processors. We have two processors now, but according to some of these documents, it looks like, or this tool, looks like there's potential support for up to four processors on future Macintoshes. Another thing that is also in the same document are references to a processor called the PowerPC 970MP. And that processor is described as a dual-core processor with two interconnected microprocessors, each one of those microprocessors having 1 megabyte of level 2 cache. So some pretty powerful things in, you know, potentially coming down the pipeline. Pretty exciting. Doesn't give any information on when we might be seeing these things. It's just references are in this document, so just starts to make you wonder. If you want to find out more information, check out macrumors.com for more details. Looks like Steve Jobs is his net worth is on the rise. Steve Jobs is reported to be worth $3 billion. That's up from $2.1 billion last year, and ranks him at 194th on the Forbes list of the world's most richest people, which just came out. And of course, you know, Bill Gates is still on the top of that list. So Steve's gaining, but I don't think he's going to be reaching Bill's net worth anytime soon. So lastly, in tonight's news, apparently there's some problems with some of the new PowerBooks, specifically in their trackpads. You may have heard that the PowerBook has this new trackpad that has some new features where you can actually use like two fingers on the touchpad to do like scrolling either horizontally or vertically. And it's a patented technology from Apple. But apparently a lot of users are reporting inconsistencies and almost unacceptable response from the trackpads. And the biggest problem seems to be on the new 12-inch and 15-inch PowerBooks. And the complaints include slow mouse tracking, customers receiving shocks from the PowerBooks due to static electricity, and the trackpads completely failing to respond for short periods of time. So I guess there's a lot of reports of this out on the internet and on Apple's discussion forums. Sounds like something Apple's going to have to deal with. I haven't heard anything personally from anybody. If anybody out there is having issues with their new PowerBook trackpads, let me know at maccast@gmail.com. And we're obviously going to have to, they're going to have to stay on top of Apple. Historically, Apple's been pretty good at fixing stuff like this. Hopefully it's something they can correct with us, you know, a software patch, a firmware patch or something like that. And not something that has to happen in the hardware itself. Cause, you know, having to recall or pull back in a bunch of PowerBooks is not going to be fun for anybody, Apple included. So those of you who listen to Adam Curry's podcast may be familiar with the HIT test, which is done by Jan Paulette. Jan puts together little clips from hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and Adam tries to guess what the tunes are, sort of like Name That Tune, for those of you who are familiar with that show. Well, it turns out that Jan's cousin is a Mac fan and has sent us a little Mac version of the HIT test. So we're going to try it out now. He's going to play little clips of different Macintoshes, and I'm going to try and guess the models, and we'll see how I do. So here we go, the first ever Mac HIT test.
Podcasting with Adam Christiansen is the Maccast. Hello, this is the HIT test. For the Maccast, my name is Jan Toilette. I am the cousin of Jan Paulette, you might have heard on the Adam Curry's And here's today's hit test, for especially for the Macintosh. So here's number one. See if you recognize this one. And one more time. And here's your 60 seconds.
Oh, I actually had one of these. That's a PowerMac 6100.
I hope you recognize that one. Here's number two.
Yeah, no problem.
And one more time.
Oh, this one's familiar.
Oh, it's quite easy, that one, I think.
I don't
here's
think it's
60
that
seconds.
Easy. I'm going to guess a maybe a Performa, early Performa.
And here's a number three. I think you'll like this one. And one more time.
That sounds kind of familiar. a blue and white G3.
So, how did
you
do?
I don't know.
How you did? Did you manage to guess them all?
I don't think I quite got them all. I probably got a couple of them.
Very distinctive. That's the Power Macintosh 6100.
Okay, see, I knew that one.
Around about March 1994 onwards. I hope you got that one. Here's number two. That one is the Macintosh Performa.
See, Performa, I couldn't get the model
and,
on that
what
one.
About the third one? You'll guess this one, I hope. It is the iMac from your wife. It's your bloody wife.
My wife doesn't have an iMac. That's not my wife.
You saw Adam Christiansen, Adam Carrier. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this, and see you next time on the MacCast Podcast Hip Test.
All right, thanks, Jan. If you want all the Mac news, the trolling websites, gives you the blues, you need the MacCast. On the train or in your car, it doesn't matter where you are, you've got the MacCast. It's the show for Mac geeks, made by a Mac geek. This is your MacCast. All right. Obviously you guys were having some fun. We're having some fun with Jan and Adam Curry's show. That was put together by our friend Simon Toon, who's contributed to the show a couple times. I thought that was a fun little thing. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Just poking a little fun at Jan Paulette and Adam Curry. Hopefully they take that with a grain of salt. If you listen to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, you've heard Jan Paulette's hit tests, and Jan Paulette actually does an extended version of that as a podcast. You can head over to his website, janpaulette.nl/hittest, janpaulette.nl/hittest, and check that out. Plays little snippets of music, and you try and guess what the tunes are, and it's a lot of fun, so just check that out. All right, enough with the comedy bits. Let's get on to listener feedback. First question tonight is a question from Lance, and he's having some issues with his new PowerBook and Linksys router.
Hey, Adam. Lance from Chico, California here. Just want to say I love the show. Keep up the good work. And I do have a question for you about my new PowerBook. My new PowerBook cannot seem to get an IP address assigned to it through the DHCP server in my Linksys router. I have a Linksys 802.11b router, and it's worked fine with my old laptop. There was no problems with that, but now my new PowerBook has trouble getting the IP address assigned to it. It keeps going to its internal address. Now, even if I put in the information and all the IP addresses and subnets manually in the PowerBook, I still cannot seem to get through into the internet. Now, I'm connecting okay wirelessly, at least to the router, but as far as the DHCP serving goes, that's not working. I've looked at several forums and found a lot of information of people having the same problem, but I have not found any solutions. So if you have any information on that, I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
So unfortunately, I didn't really have an answer for Lance on this one. We did some emailing back and forth, and I got some more details. He does have all the firmware updates for both the router and the airport. I asked him about that. That was the first thing I could think of. And then he sent details. The PowerBook is actually communicating with a Linksys router, but it's not getting a valid IP address assigned by the DHCP server. So he can, you know, network them together. The even weirder thing that he mentioned is that if he goes in with his PC to the configuration, the admin console, and resets the Linksys router, then the PowerBook will actually pick up or be assigned a real IP address, and then everything works fine. So if anybody else has had an issue with this or solved this problem, please let us know. Mattcast@gmail.com. You can send an audio comment or just a text email, and I will forward that information on to Lance. Next, I got an interesting question from a listener, David. He has a iPod, and he syncs it with his Macintosh at home and then takes it to work and likes to listen to it at work, either through powered speakers or through just the headphone jack. So it's not connected to anything. He doesn't want to sync it to his PC at work, but he wants to get power to it, and he doesn't want to have to buy another Apple the power adapter that takes the USB cable, because there's a lot of wires and you'd have to dig around under his desk. And his thing is he has a PC sitting on his desk that has two open USB ports. So basically, he wants to be able to plug it into his PC, but not have it mount as a drive, not have it sync, just so he can get power to charge the iPod. And I wasn't really sure a way to go about this. The only thing I could think of is maybe, and I did some searching on the internet and I really couldn't find this, maybe you could get a USB cable that has only the power and ground pins activated. But if anybody has a solution for this, so basically he just wants to get power from the USB, but he doesn't want it to mount. One thing we had thought about is, you know, maybe if you don't install iTunes on the PC, and you just plug it in, I don't know how the iPod would react, but the typical problem is that once you plug your iPod into a computer, it goes into its sync mode, and you get the little message that says, do not disconnect. So you can't actually operate the iPod while it's plugged into your computer. If you plug it into the power adapter, you know, through the USB cable, then you can actually use the iPod with, say, a set of powered speakers or headphones and actually listen to it and work it while it's still charging. So that's basically what he wants to do, but he wants to get power through his PC and not through a wall outlet. So if anybody has a good solution for that, please let us know. Okay, if some of you remember on a previous show, we had a question from a listener about how to print just selected text, and I didn't really have an answer, and the only thing I could come with was I suggested that he try out, and I believe this may have been the last show, that he try out a third-party software product. Well, I got a couple responses from a couple different people on a solution that's built it natively into Mac OS X, and it has to do with OS X services. Actually got an audio feedback from John, who runs the 1 Minute Tip podcast, and you can find that at 1minutetip.com. And he, along with another listener, Kim, kind of had the same answer, that you can actually use OS X services to do this. And John was kind enough to leave a audio comment, so I'll let him tell you how it's done.
Hey, Adam, this is John from the 1 Minute Tip, and responding to Michael's question about how to print selected text in OS X. Well, tip 30 in the 1 Minute Tip, we just finished up doing summary services, and I thought, you know what, there might be something in there that you could use. So here's a great tip for your listener, Michael. Go into an application, select some text, go under the Applications pull-down menu, and select Services, Text Edit, new window containing selection. And what it'll do is it's going to pop open a window in Text Edit with just that selected text in it, and then go ahead and print. Now, it's not a one-step process, it's a two-step process, but it is free. So I thought, oh, that's worthwhile. So there you go, a little tip for Michael on how to print selected text in OS X. Haven't talked to you in a while. Show's going great. Looking forward to hearing some more. Take care, Adam. Bye-bye.
So there you go, an easy free way to print just selected text in OS X. If you haven't checked out the 1 Minute Tip podcast, 1 Minute Tip is exactly what it sounds like. John gives out 1 Minute Tips on OS X, and they're very, very helpful, and especially for those of you who are recent PC switchers, you may want to subscribe to that podcast. He gives out a lot of tips and hints on using your Macintosh. He puts those out twice a week, and they're very useful. There is a link from the show notes, so you won't have to remember that URL, but it's pretty easy, 1minutetip.com. All right, the next question came in from Steven, and it actually came in through the new feedback website, mcfeedback.blogspot.com, which is the site where you guys can actually call in, leave an audio comment, and the audio comment will actually get posted immediately to the weblog there, and other listeners can listen to it. And I actually respond now on there. I type out my responses to your questions so you can get it immediately. You don't have to wait for the next MacCast to hear the response. So a great way to leave feedback for the MacCast. It's instantaneous, and everybody else can kind of share in your feedback. But anyway, Stephen was wondering how to do maintenance. He's, again, a PC switcher and was curious about Mac OS X maintenance. And here's his question.
Hey, Adam. This is Stephen calling from Studio City, California. I really like your show. Just finished up your March 10th episode and had a quick question. I'm a relatively new Mac user, and I had a couple concerns since I am a PC guy. One is virus protection and spyware. I know I've heard that Macs don't really have that issue, but just want to check it out. Also, a good way for cleaning up disk and just a utility program that will help maybe clean up your disk. I don't know if there's registry issues. Again, I'm a new Mac user, so any feedback in your future shows would be appreciated. I like what you're doing. Thanks a lot.
So great question there. On the first point, spyware and viruses and things like that, it pretty much is true that Mac users really don't have to worry too much about that. I personally don't run any virus protection, and spyware is pretty much non-existent for the Macintosh. That doesn't mean that we're totally immune. A lot of people like to spout off the fact that Macs are totally immune from viruses and totally immune from spyware. The truth of the matter is we just haven't been targeted yet, and a lot of speculation on that is because we're such a small share of the PC market, with Microsoft having 90, you know, we can debate on the numbers, but essentially 98% of the market for home PCs. People want to go after them and, you know, reach the most people or affect the most people, hackers and people like that. So, you know, we don't really have to worry about that stuff. If you do want virus software, one of the ones that I can recommend is McAfee Virex. And if you're a .Mac subscriber, you actually get that for free with your .Mac subscription. And this is another reason why I can't say enough about Apple's .Mac service. I think it's well worth the $99 a year that you pay for it, all the services and things they provide. The virus protection software, I'm sure, I don't have exact pricing on it, but I'm sure it runs in the, you know what, I can get exact pricing on it. Hold on. So a quick check over at MacMall reveals it runs about $26, $27. So, you know, you're already covering part of your .Mac subscription just by getting the free Virex tools if that's something that you're looking for. So Virex, if you're looking for virus software. As far as maintaining your Macintosh, there's lots of things that you can do using Apple's built-in tool. Disk utility is a good thing to do, especially running repair permissions on a regular basis. But there is a great article over at Macworld's website. It provides 8 steps to keep your Macintosh running smoothly under OS X. I linked it to it from the show notes. I also added the link to the mcfeedback.com or .blogspot.com site. So you can go over there and find the links. Definitely read that article. It was also published as an article in Macworld, I believe, back in December or January, and Mac Addict ran a similar article. So those are a couple places to check out to get information on how to maintain your Macintosh. All right, lastly tonight, if you remember a couple shows ago, I did a review of the iPod stand. iPod standing for pedestal, iPod pedestal. And it's a product from ThoughtOut. The website is thoughtout.biz, but ThoughtOut was kind enough to send me a little audio file. He's going to be offering a discount for MacCast listeners on the iPad. Michael Talmadge is the guy over there, and I will let him tell you all about it.
Hello, MacCast listeners. This is Mike from ThoughtOut, home of the iPad, the iPod stand. We are offering the MacCast listeners for the first 45 iPads at $19.99. from the original listed price of $25.99. If you are looking for a unique or an additional iPod stand with great cable control, we have a special link for the MacCast listeners at thoughtout.biz slash maccast.htm. This offer is good for only the first 45 iPads, so get yours now.
So there you go. If you're looking for a alternative iPod stand, something that matches the design of the studio display, Apple Cinema display, or your new iMac G5, then you might want to check that out. thoughtout.biz/maccast.htm. There's a link from the show notes, and you can save some money on the stand. And I appreciate Mike over at ThoughtOut for offering that up to MacCast listeners. All right, that's the show for tonight. As always, please visit the website, maccast.com, for the full show notes and details on everything we talked about in the show. Check out the new audio blog, mcfeedback.blogspot.com, where you can actually call in and leave feedback that gets immediately posted for anyone to listen to. And if you do visit that website and listen to a post, and if it's a question and want to make a response, you can use the comments area on that site to leave your feedback or your response to someone's question. So that's a great new way to have interactivity between MacCast listeners, between shows. So please check out that website. As always, you can send email to maccast@gmail.com to get a hold of me. You can also leave audio comment on the hotline, 206-222-2788. So lots of ways to get a hold of the MacCast. All right, tonight I'm going to leave you with new music from Jeff Bird, who is another artist over on GarageBand.com. I guess he's getting a lot of airplay and a lot of great response. I really like this tune. It's called Elusive Butterfly. And there's a link to his website or his information on GarageBand.com from the show notes. So I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you all next time.
Imagination is my friend. Because you never give it up in bed. Yeah. Girl, you're 27 shades of gray. Technicolor the next day.